Hi everyone, this is William Del Pilar, and welcome to Points on the Board. I am your conservative Latino who talks on the intersectionality of sports, culture, and politics. This isn't your typical sports show, as I say every week. It's a show where we learn and understand how progressives use culture, including sports, to continue to take our rights and disintegrate our values. As I always say, I do mix it up. Some out-of-the-ordinary type stories that aren't politically related, whether it's morality issues, a police blotter, or just dumb scenarios that happen in the sports world. And I got a good one for you tonight again. Tom Brady and kicking a dog. Man, I can't wait to talk about that one. So, tonight's episode is going to deal with more transgender battles. And this time, it's pushback, and we are winning in the courts. So it's good news. Then there's a morality outrage of sinners who likely have more skeleton in their closets than the average Antifa goon. And I'm talking about those who wanted to criticize Tom Brady over a metaphorical comment. Then we'll hit our final whistle with a few stories of note. I'm thinking Kamala Harris, Rampage Jackson update, sports figures who've had enough of progressives and their hate. I guess, and some who are still honoring Charlie Kirk, whose movement is growing beyond the expectations of anyone. But before we begin, do not forget to bookmark rumblingsmedia.com. Check out our new swag and follow us on your platform of choice. YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, e Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. So let's get to our main story, though. Now that we got the administrative stuff out of the way. Actually, before we do, let me show you something pretty cool. We do have swag. Get it while it lasts. And I do want to show you one here. This is my favorite one. It's the coffee mug. I'll leave that up there for the segment. But you can swipe the code, QR code, head on over to our store, or just head on over to grumblingsmedia.com for not only our swag, but you can check out our other podcast as well. So with that, let's get to my first story, and that is California high school teens boycott trans player matches, and good for these people. So what happened here, we're seeing escalating forfeits by seven girls' high school volleyball teams in Riverside, California, and it's exposing the raw conflicts over having a boy participating in girls' sports, simply because they say, I'm a girl, I wants to play with the girls, because I can't compete with the boys. That's what it boils down to. And they're forcing schools into default wins with the transgender. And it's disrupting seasons. But I applaud the girls. Applaud these girls. They're saying we will not play against these teams. And now a lawsuit from three of the affected girls highlights the claims of intimidation and violations of religious principles. Why? These boys are in the locker rooms. Now, these aren't, they haven't transitioned. These are actual boys. Boy, where were these rules when I was a kid? Hey, I'm a girl. Ooh, look at her. I'm making light of it and I shouldn't. I apologize. The point being is that they do not belong in the locker rooms. I wouldn't be surprised if these guys are enjoying this and using this as an excuse. But regardless, there is a lawsuit. And the clashes, man, they're actually going against state mandates that prioritize transgender access legally. So what's this standoff do? It's amplifying the fallout from bad, bigoted policies that Jerry Brown and the Democrats with Gavin Newsom pushing and supporting that are overriding the local objections of parents. And what's happening? These young athletes are caught between compliance and personal convictions, and they're choosing rightfully and righteously their convictions. So, this is seven Riverside area high schools. I could say their names, but y'all wouldn't know. But there's seven of them. They forfeited volleyball games against Jurupa Valley High, or Jurupa. And that's because they have a boy on their team masquerading as a girl. Now, this just happened this past week. Once again, this time it was Yucaipa High School refused to take the court. And thus, they got a default win. Jurupa Valley High School did. Now, three more high school volleyball teams have forfeited games. And now, again, we have the lawsuit. So all this is adding to the drama. So now, since the start of this season, the 2025-2026 season, six schools have either forfeited or canceled matches against the team. And additional forfeits are reported from August involving two more teams. This isn't a one-and-done situation. This isn't a closed incident. It's actually growing, and that's what we want. That's what we want. Now, a school board meeting in California turned into an explosive debate. Once again, after another forfeit. And the parents were clashing. You know, it's funny. It's always a parent whose kid is on with the transgender, they're winning, or the parent who doesn't have any kids and they're going to these school board meetings. Because if you notice all these protests, there are all these blue hairs. I'm sorry, I'm going to call it what it is. Blue hairs. Geritol. What's it called? Musil. Metamucil. All those people. Like, these are the hippies from the 60s. Ain't got nothing to do. Hey, Margaret, let's go on out there. Let's go protest. They're causing chaos. You know why? Because these kids are having their whole childhoods destroyed. Because of bad parents. Let me get back to it. My diatribe's over there. So the whole point is another school decided not to compete in past August, the two schools I mentioned, because of that infamous athlete, A.B. Hernandez, whose mother's a nut job. My boy's really a girl. Lady, how many Xanax, how many Valiums have you taken? In fact, how many Quaaludes have you taken, to throw an old 80s term out there? Now, he won two CIF titles, Hernandez did. You know, so it's the same name, same player. You know, after high school, I don't know what's going to happen to him. He's mentally messed up in the head. He's not going to get any college scholarships because the colleges aren't complying, so he's done. Now, these schools have protested by voluntarily forfeiting these games. Now, the lawsuit. So three girls filed a lawsuit this September 9th against Arupa Unified School District, California Interscholastic Federation, and California Department of Education. They're alleging an intentionally hostile environment and bullying by school officials. And remember, that all those stories came out, how the schools would bully the kids into silence and force them to compete, and even worse, to share spaces with the male. You know, Will Thomas, he was like, woo, 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 swinging the old dong in the locker room. Now, two of the girls left the Jurupa Valley team over religious objections. I think two of the girls are Catholics and one's a Muslim because they had discomfort with the boy using the girls' locker room. They don't want the boy to see them undress. They're emphasizing faith principles of modesty, dignity, and gender distinctions aligned with the biological sex. And I believe, I'm not a lawyer, but based on other cases we've read, they have a good chance to win. Now, the lawsuit adds their faith emphasizes modesty, dignity, and the honoring of gender distinctions, which must conform with one's biological sex in both practices and identity. That's a quote from the lawsuit. Now, the official response is Jurupa Valley High School officials, they counter that they lack the authority to restrict the transgender student. So there's California state law from 2013 that's been signed by Governor Jerry Brown, and it requires compliance. Jerry Brown is like the hippie. He wasn't a great governor. He's not a great human being. What is it with losers? They can have great, or I'm not great, but successful careers answering to their donor masters, yet they're useless in everything else but life. That's the bane of human civilization. It's the bane of human civilization. But regardless, that is true. But what these schools have done is they've lost their funding. Their funding's toast for the federal funding. So these high schools are going to be impacted by that. They can't counter this, but they're also not going to get any money from the feds. Rightfully so. Righteously so. Newsom's office stated, I have stated the following existing state law, a law that was passed in 2013. What he's saying is, I can't do anything until the legislature sends me something to sign to change it. And they're not. This is a type of midterm topic that's a winner. 80% of America, including most Californians, including Democrats, are against this. This is a topic you ride on over and over and over. You become a one-message campaign tactic with this, along with other stuff, but this becomes a pinnacle. Because people understand logically, well, why is a boy playing? Public opinion polls, strong opposition to transgender female athletes, 79% oppose, and only 18% think it's okay, according to the February 2025 Ipsos New York Times poll. Ipsos is the one that did it. New York Times paid them. That's how, when you always see the Ipsos and somebody aligned with it, the survey company does it and the other company's paying them. But anyway, a girl in Washington lost a volleyball roster spot to a male and stated, quote, it's not right that this person is taking a starting spot from a female who's dreamt of playing at the collegiate level. And she's absolutely right. Teenage girls in Oregon, they protested biological males. And it's always the politicians whose kids are gone or they don't have kids. They don't care anymore. So it's like, screw you, girl. You deal with it, you little bigot. And they're supposed to be the party to protect women. What they've done is they tried to bastardize and destroy Title IX from protecting women to protecting boys. World athletes can't do this. Why? Because the rest of the world goes, what the hell y'all doing there in America? And then there's Megan Rapinoe. She criticized opposition to transgender athletes in women's sports as, quote, cruel and depraved this past March. Yet why or when did she do this? After she retired. Look, 15-year-old boys beat the hell out of Megan Rapinoe and her team. It's why the WNBA is never going to rise past where it's at. You know, when you watch it, you're like, man, these are like a bunch of sad, these are like a bunch of JV guys trying to make the varsity team. It's just ugly basketball. And the only reason is soccer kind of got big for women is it's that fluke. They were doing well. They were actually competing at a level never before seen in the men's side. Then there's Simone Biles. Hey, I agree with that little girl. That little wretch. Why? You know, she tried to attack Riley Gaines. Screw you, Simone. But anyway, she made a good point, though. Recommend creating a transgender category. But the trans advocacy groups criticized that. Why? Because nobody would watch them play. They wouldn't get enough people. So they want to go screw regular biological gender girls. Now, multiple lawsuits are challenging all these transgender policies, as we know. Then they're making the claim that they're facing difficulties in balancing fairness with inclusion. A lot of these organizations are, you know, we're struggling. There is no fairness. Boys do not belong in girls' sports. That's unfair. The boys in there. Now, the Republicans need to keep focusing on the transgender athletes for the midterms, 2026. And I know, I think against Senator John Ossoff, for example, they are. He's out of Georgia, Senator out of Georgia. Now, this is the midterm wedge issue. And they gotta raise it. You gotta, especially here in California, you gotta raise it loud. Loud. They may gerrymander it, but they're not gonna win every gerrymandered district because eventually you hit rock bottom, which is where California's at. Nobody has any money and these guys wanna keep taxing. So the Republicans here in California need to really hammer this point out. It pretty much is that simple. A majority of Democrat voters, as I've said, believe the party should stop focusing on transgender issues. That just came out in June. Trump wants him to keep advocating for trans. I agree. Now, two Texas Democrats supported a January 2025 House bill that barred transgender women. They barred boys from girls' sports. So they're slowly coming over. Look, California's entrenched 2013 state law shows no signs of reversal, why they have supermajority, and we have an inept California Republican Party. So they feel they can just keep allowing this to happen. But I don't think this cycle it's going to work as well. And I think you're going to see some upsets. Now, that said, we are the state where Republicans 90% of the time are leading on election night and then magically lose 2 to 4 weeks later by a handful of votes after the mail-in comes. mail-in votes get counted. Remember, no voter ID. We have tens of thousands of voter fraud cases over the decades here in California, from homeless people being paid to give their ballots up, to people receiving 12 or 13 ballots at once, to now you can just go take somebody else's ballot and put it in a drop box. Who knows how many thousands over the nation that caught people, including politicians, dropping barrelfuls of this stuff. God, as Stalin said, it's not he who votes, it's he who counts the votes. This is a potent wedge issue. And again, this should be shaping Republican strategies, exploding the widespread opposition to boys and girls sports. I think we can get more than a handful of victories. Let's go to the second story. Christian school reinstatement sparks religious freedom debate. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It's a win for religious freedom. The debate is a bunch of leftist pigs, swine. So we wanting to take our freedoms away, our religious freedoms. So what happened here? Vermont Christian School forfeited a game over a transgender player. They were kicked out of everything, and they won their appeal. They were banned from state athletics for refusing to play against a male athlete identifying as a female. They refused to play against a boy. And that decision exposed a growing hostility toward faith-based convictions. They're attacking Christians. They're too scared to attack Muslims. We're not the party of violence. I mean, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. If we were like the Democrats, America would be on fire right now. Every major urban area, the whole city would be on fire. And that day could come if they keep pushing and pushing and pushing, which is why I do this. Enough of this. That needs to stop. We're not rioting. We're speaking unity and coming together. They riot. But as Thomas Sowell said, eventually you can only push so far. But there is a growing hostility toward faith-based convictions. Now, Federal Appeals Court reversed the expulsion, rightfully intensifying scrutiny on state punishing schools and demagoguing schools is not legal. And they need to stop punishing these schools simply for believing biological reality and having faith in their religion. Now, students have lost opportunities simply because their school upheld truth over ideology. Think about that. These girls lost a lot of the experience of growing up, of actually going and doing other things, as they were banned by politicians, old blue hairs, bigoted women, ignorant, stupid pajama boys who said, no, that boy can play in your sports. Why? Hack those male politicians. You know, two left feet. Derrick Henry tonight was fumbling the ball. He went to go slam his helmet down. Was That's what these politicians do. They're inept cowards, bumbling and stumbling. Weren't able to do anything well in high school. This is their revenge. Anyway, the case shows that there are cracks in enforcing gender identity mandates in terms of the left, because they're struggling to trample what are long-held beliefs, parental rights, and fairness in women's sports. We've seen the data. We've seen the results. Injured girls, hurt girls, undefeated seasons, one or two losses in a 20-some-odd game season. Why? Because they've got the advantage with a boy. There's a softball pitcher was a boy. They went, I think he was hitless. And I think they went undefeated like two straight years. And they all leaned on the boy. So what are the effects? Well, let's hope it reshapes how we define equality. And we go back to real equality. Common sense. Boy, girl. Boy, girl. So this happened in February 2023. Mid-Vermont Christian School girls basketball team forfeited a Division IV playoff game against Long Trail School. So in essence, Mid-Vermont Christian Schools forfeited against a team that had a boy playing. So once the school district learned about this, well, first of all, they said that they were forfeiting it because of concerns over safety, fairness, and alignment with their religious views on biological sex differences. All that is proven. We've seen women get hurt, girls get hurt. We've seen how lopsided all this. Now, the forfeiture was, quote, it's clear in scripture that there is a difference between males and females, unquote. Science says the same thing too, Mr. Goodwin. So they felt if they decided to play the game, in essence, they'd be agreeing with the state's belief system over their religious conviction that boys can be girls. And they do not believe in that, and God bless you, I'm with you. Now, the Vermont Principals Association, a bunch of ducks with a C, responded by expelling Mid-Vermont Christian School from all state-sponsored athletic and non-athletic activities. So the whole school was affected. They were trying to make an example out of them. That included science fairs, spelling bees, nothing to do with sports. They're trying to punish. We are going to make an example. Us fat whiteys are going to make an example out of y'all. Look, it's Vermont. That's what's all whiteys. So VPA's appeals committee dismissed the school's safety concerns. It's a myth. No, they don't get hurt. That's a myth. Transgender boys don't endanger girls. And then Jay Nichols, the VPA executive director, or Jay the loser Nichols, Jay, whose wife is probably being pleasured by a real man, Nichols, publicly criticized the school. He's saying, quote, thank goodness the student in question didn't attend that religious school, unquote. Actually, he should have. He'd probably be morally correct right now, not messed up in the head. That boy shouldn't be playing in any girl's sports. Now, here's the lie is that he called it a myth. Let's talk about the 2022 incident involving North Carolina high school volleyball player Peyton McNabb. I've talked about her before. I've shown the video. She suffered a traumatic brain injury that included a concussion, brain bleed, partial paralysis on her right side, impaired vision, headaches, depression, and difficulty learning. She was struck with a kill shot in volleyball. When they throw it up, the guy runs up, the girl runs up to that. Bam! Hit her. Boom. Out. And there have been cases not proven, though everybody knows they were trying to take one girl out in San Jose, but they just couldn't. The person wasn't good enough. Now, they say they did an investigation that lasted like 30 minutes. Oh, there's no proof here. There was no investigation properly done, in my opinion. But regardless, it's a completely different tale. But the point is this guy was lying. This guy was lying. What's this moron's name again? Jay, the duck with a C, Nichols. Now, her injury, McNabb's injury, led her to testify. And that's what's got the ball rolling. See, you can deny all you want, but the data, the proof is all out there. She lost all her whole athletic future was done, and she has long-term health issues. Other injuries reported are multiple girls hurt by transgender athletes in various sports. This is what's leading to this team forfeitures. This is what's talking about safety debates that the leftists want to deny. Will Thomas, a.k.a. Leah Thomas, was like the 400th and some off the rank, 400-plus ranked male swimmer, best female swimmer in the country. I mean, it's just easily seen there. Now, critics and advocates for transgender inclusion argue that such incidents are rare. Yeah, let me think about it to your wife, to your kid, to your girl. Bam! See how you like it? You wouldn't. You know, that's the thing, too, about leftists, all these morality people. You know, whether you're libertarian, whether you're a rhino like a Liz Cheney, or you're a Democrat, they don't care until it happens to them. Then all of a sudden, and I mentioned this to somebody I know, I go, man, you know, when crap happened to you, you were conservative as hell. People are trying to say, oh, this is rare, it's minimal. They don't belong. So, consequences of the ban led the Mid-Vermont's athletes competing, compete. Anywhere. So there was law state recognition, all state honors, and scholarship opportunities. See, that's the thing. These girls couldn't play, so colleges couldn't see them. I hope they're able to sue for money. And I wish they won't be able to, but I wish they could sue directly these individuals. Now, the Alliance Defending Freedom, they're the ones who filed the federal lawsuit. And, of course, an activist judge, Judge Jeffrey Loser Crawford, denied the school's preliminary injunction. No, no, I'm an activist judge. Judge down on his knees for the Democrat Party. He said, oh, no, they're neutral. They directly attacked them. They went after them. It wasn't just the sports. They tried to take them out. Y'all can't do nothing. Luckily, eventually as you go up, people go, hey, we got to get real here. The U.S. Court of Appeals just threw it out unanimously. They granted the preliminary injunction to reinstate the school. And they cited evidence of VPA hostility, the Vermont Principals Association, hostility towards its religious beliefs. They were going after a religious school. Judge Michael H. Park's opinion described the VPA's punishment as, quote, unprecedented, overbroad, and procedurally irregular, unquote. So why couldn't the lower court see that, obviously? And he was just drawing parallels to the Supreme Court's masterpiece cake shop ruling on religious hostility. And give a hat tip to VT Digger and Gay City News. Now, the Alliance Defending Freedom's David Cortman celebrated. He said the government cannot punish religious schools and the families they serve by permanently kicking them out of state-sponsored sports simply because the state disagrees with their religious beliefs. The state was going after it. They were politically persecuting. The Democrats have a great track record of doing that. Now, the leftists, this is another affront to Vermont's core values. We're bigots here. We want to be bigots. This is discrimination because we want boys to beat up girls. God. I want to fast forward to 10 years to see all these. I'll tell you what. If I ever meet one of these girls, get out of my face. If they ever come into my business for a job, get out. Get out. Odds are they're too dumb to qualify for any decent work anyway. So the VPA partially reconsidered the suspension, allowing the students in co-educational non-sports activities. This is still going to go up. It's going back to district court for further proceedings in a national backdrop where SCOTUS is going to review this. And if not this one, similar ones. So look, the appeals court injunction is accountable. Why? Apparent bias. I see it as a clear bias against religion. The fact they missed the gave back access to the school to be able to compete is the only outcome that should have happened. And it paves the way for more scrutiny on similar policies of political persecution nationwide. Look, the transgender fight continues from California's high school volleyball teams, who I believe are boldly forfeiting games against transgender player. That's also sparking lawsuits over fairness, safety, and religious convictions as a great moral victory. We're pushing back. Then obviously what I just talked about, the Vermont Christian School winning its appeal against a discriminatory ban that was more of a political persecution by the Vermont Principals Association. Why? They didn't want to play against a boy. The girls didn't. It was an attack on the religion. So we've got victories on the court, battlegrounds being fought on the ground, and pushing back hard. Why? They're pushing back against progressive denial because boys do not belong in women's sports. They ignore biological reality, and they are trying to destroy faith-based freedoms. Conservatives are leading the charge. We are exposing how these policies steal opportunities from our daughters. And they're punishing moral stands, or trying to. Don't forget for 1 minute about these fights, people. We cannot, especially as the midterms loom. Truth will prevail, because this is an issue where 80% of all Americans, including many Democrats, do not align with the party. The GOP, I'm begging you, spread the message of truth and not only win the votes, but you have a responsibility to put America back on track. Only girls belong in girls' sports. All right, let's get to the final big story. Tom Brady draws criticism for the kick the dog comment. His frustration analogy triggers widespread outrage. This is going to be quick, but it's very important. Because we've gotten to a point with social media, we think we're purer than Jesus. Jesus ain't got nothing on me. I'm behind my keyboard. I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'm pure. Or they're on the toilet. I'm pure. So Tom Brady made a casual remark during the live NFL broadcast, and it's unleashed a firestorm of accusations. Just, it's an on-air analogy about handling frustration into claims of endorsing animal cruelty. Critics include PETA, as well as your pious, morally duck with a C behind their computers. They're all condemning him. How dare he? How dare he? Now, the backlash reveals a rapid escalation of public judgment. The bottom is people think their crap don't stink. So this happened this past weekend during the Fox Sports broadcast of the Bears 31-14 beatdown of the Dallas Cowboys, who I think are going to suck this year. Tom Brady commented on George Pickens, a receiver, slamming his helmet in frustration. Brady stated, those helmets can be, it's like the dog at home. Kick the dog, throw the helmet, whatever it takes, unquote. And there was no reaction from his partner, Kevin Burkhardt. But social media erupted immediately. Did Tom Brady just insinuate to kick a dog with that comment? An awful thing to say. Now, that's okay. But disgraceful. Tom Brady just promoted animal abuse. Did Tom Brady just casually admit to animal abuse? Excuse me, Tom Brady. Did he just advocate for animal abuse? And then PETA responded. PETA encourages Brady to remember that millions of people listen to him, that the language we use can encourage the kindness of violence towards animals, and that we should never normalize taking our frustration out on a beloved companion. Half those people were defending Michael Vick when he had ran a dog ring. Even Skip Bayless got into it. I hope Brady didn't go home after bad losses and angrily throw the dog. Bayless is trying to regain relevancy. He's just old, over the hill. Time's gone, bro. You got millions head on into the sunset. You can take Shannon Sharp with you now because he's kind of a jobless. It's funny. You don't hear real quick on Shannon Sharp. He was the bomb. He was up and coming. I think he was the one who said he was looking at a $100 million contract. I don't think ESPN was looking at him. But once he left the ESPN, once he got, you don't hear from him. People who are made by the media are easily destroyed by the media. And the media destroyed him after it came out that he likes to allegedly choke women. I think he has a fetish with it. But, and but my point is, fame comes and goes. I don't know why I got on the Shannon Sharp thing. But the point is, let's just get back to Brady. Brady's a known animal lover. He adopted a rescue dog. You know, gave a tribute after his pit bull died. And the irony of all this is Brady has a $375 million deal to be an announcer. And the truth of the matter is he's average at best, sucks at worst. The real travesty isn't him making a dumb comment. It's that the Fox gave him $375 million deal. Nobody listens or watches the game. Oh, yeah, Tom Brady's nothing. Oh, yeah, man, we're going to have a hell of a good. Who's playing? I don't care. It's Tom Brady. We got to watch it. You think so, Bob? Is he that good? Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to win 7 Emmy nominations for Announcer of the Year. We got to watch it. We got to be in there on the start. He's legendary. Fox is too stupid to realize he should not have been given. And God bless Brady for getting it, for swindling Fox ahead of their money. Now, my issues with social media, it reflects a typical familiar pattern of outrage culture where critics signal moral superiority and collective disapproval. It's often more for public validation than actual genuine concern. These people don't care. They just want to sound righteous, pious, morally superior. Yeah, and they're just completely sidestepping the deeper inconsistencies or the actual real-world engagement that they lack. In other words, they live in their basement stuck behind the computer. Gosh, that's kind of me in a way. But I don't sit there and put myself as morally superior. I point it out. No, I don't. I point out those who think they are like I am now. But anyway, the dynamic in social media backlash, what to do? It reveals how many users adopt this posture of, again, moral superiority. They're smug, self-righteous, and convinced they're above reproach. All the while, ignoring the contradictions in their own lives. If they looked in the mirror, they'd probably find that they're not just complicit, but worse. Look, it's hard for me to put people down. DUI, I got a couple when I was extremely young, stupid, so I tend to be more forgiving. But when you're at the level of NFL player, you need to surround yourself with smart people. You don't go taking a Lamborghini or Ferrari to a Henry Rugg or this Rice, whatever the kid's name is from Kansas City. It's like, you see what's happening. You know that this is an issue, and yet you all still go and do it. So, yeah, I do hold them a slightly more accountable, but I'm more forgiving. But when they become repeat offenders, no. But regardless, this episode spotlights an accountability demanded of broadcasters like Brady, who's, when they speak, those words face instant dissection by social media dumbasses. As scrutiny intensifies, the fallout could influence ongoing discussions about high-profile figures or dual roles in sports. And Brady has it, too, with it being part owner. That's causing all kinds of conflicts. But the point is I think that we're just too self-righteous. I mean, it's obvious transgender boys and girls, but this, it was metaphoric. But he's saying you got to take your frustrations out. And I'm a dog lover, people. Just to let y'all know, when the missus and I go meet our maker, the Humane Society is going to be in for a big windfall. You know, I love dogs and cats and animals as much as anybody else. And my proof is I'm giving everything I have to the Humane Society. And I want to change that. They're very leftist. I've been too lazy to do that. But but the point is recognize a metaphor, you morons. All right. Let's get to, I'll take the last 5 minutes here and talk about some quick stories here about 4 or 5. Faith and Unity, the Orlando Magic star Jonathan Isaac pays tribute to Charlie Kirk. So Orlando Magic player Jonathan Isaac, he promotes faith-based unity following the assassination of conservative commentator Charlie Kirk. He has his own faith-based gear apparel. It's kind of expensive. I'm an old martial arts guy, so I'll buy that $30, $40 kung fu shoe, and I'll spend $150. But I don't know the quality of stuff, but I'm going to look into it. I've looked into it twice. But so he's very godly. He knew Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, those who have been living in a parallel universe, was assassinated last week by a pure play leftist radical, Tyler Robinson. And Jonathan Isaac reflected on respect, civil discourse, and rejecting political violence. Yeah. Now his brand is Unitas, UNITUS, and it means oneness with biblical roots. And he's trying to unite Christians and patriots through the apparel, like Judah, like his sneaker Judah 2. It features 6 Bible verses, and this is in direct contrast to progressive ideology. You know, he emphasizes free expression of faith in Jesus Christ and invites others to wear his products as tribute. I mean, last week I talked about how the leagues honored Charlie Kirk, and yeah, the NBA was in the offseason, but I didn't see any player step up with the goodwill vibes. None of them, until Jonathan Isaac did. And it did seriously warm my heart to see that. You know, so baseball, football, basketball, and hockey and golf, they all honored him in terms of players in leagues and teams. WNBA, they never will. Anyway, next story. Kamala Harris expresses concerns over transgender athletes. Okay, so Kamala Harris admitted in her post-election book to agreeing with potential worries about biological males competing in women's sports due to unfair physical advantages. Her book is 107 Days. 107 Days, I Turned Into a Loser. The world saw me for who I am, loser. No, it's just called 107 Days. But she had reservations. And she agrees with parents on accounting for biological factors like muscle mass, especially in contact sports. But despite all this, her deep ties to the transgender community, she didn't want to piss them off. So she was afraid of speaking the truth. And Trump destroyed her they-them ad. Exit polls show 70% of moderate voters prioritize opposition to transgender males and women's sports and facilities, with 6% calling it a top issue. She lost, and a big reason was because of that. So, yeah, it's wild. Kamala admitted she shared real concerns about boys potentially hurting girls in sports, but she stayed quiet on the trail to avoid pissing off the trans community. Boy, did that backfire. Phil Mickelson. He blasted Congresswoman Crockett and Omar for hateful rhetoric. So Phil Mickelson criticized the Democratic Congresswoman for inflammatory comments. Yeah, they're just bigots. They're racist. They hate America. They hate white people. They hate capitalism. They hate the Constitution. They hate everything about America. Now, Phil Mickelson, as we all know, is a legend. He condemned them, rightfully so, because of all the nonsense they're still speaking since the assassination occurred. Omar, she was on CNN. Omar, she who is married to her obviously gay brother and then had another husband, I guess, dumped him for somebody she's in, on her staff. He's just a messed up loser. Now, she says Charlie Kirk's legacy belongs in the dustbin of history. I guarantee you, after Ilhan's long gone, TPUSA will still be around and he will still be honored. Then there's Jasmine Crockett compared to Republican politicians to Hitler. That's accurate language. This is a bigot. She's another racist. This is a woman to Black America. Why is it she's educated, talks nice and properly, and then she gets down into ghetto talk when she's talking to you? To me, that's as low as you can go. She's disrespecting y'all. She's saying, I'm going to talk stupid and down to them so they like they do. Y'all aren't stupid. Y'all aren't anything of that sort. But by talking like that, she thinks she's getting down with the hood. Be who you are. She was born into a higher income, went to a private school, cost tens of thousands a year, and she should use that. Look, my family work hard. I want to help y'all get out of the hood so you don't have to worry about guns, crimes, get a proper education. You don't have generation after generation living in the projects that were supposed to be temporary. And this isn't just Black America. She represents Black America, but it's also happening to Latinos and the white trailer parks. Instead of trying to lift people up, they want to keep you down. And as far as Ilhan, she's never showed any love for America. She wants our values and our Constitution destroyed, and she wants to install an authoritarian government. She came about because they dumped all of Somalia immigrants into one area. They never assimilated, and this is what we get. That's a sad truth. We need to sit there and adopt English as official language, take the schools back to teach and not indoctrinate, and teach American values. It's that simple. This is America. I'm Panamanian Puerto Ricano. If I wanted to live a Panamanian government, Panamanian lifestyle, Panamanian beliefs, I'd be in Panama. I honor my country. I love my country. I love my people, Puerto Rico too. But I'm an American, and I'm a patriot. That's how it should be done. The only good thing here is that the redistricting is happening right now. Jasmine Crockett's likely going to lose her seat because that's the only reason she's in the news or anywhere. Once she loses that, you won't hear from her. Like Shannon Sharp, once he lost that ESPN gig, you haven't heard squat. Look, these are the kind of reps that keep winning because their districts are packed with folks who believe in what they believe. A lot of progressive, a lot of leftists, a lot of authoritarian, a lot of anti-America, a lot of anti-constitution. Look at Dearborn, Michigan. And what irks me, again, libertarians are the worst, but Democrats are right there with them. They're okay with it. It's freedom, William. It'll all work out. No, you moron, look at history. It doesn't work out. All right. Keith Olbermann's vulgar assault on Stephen A. Smith. So Keith Olbermann, he launched a profanity-laced attack on Stephen A. Smith for criticizing Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, he who was suspended, who is coming back. And he publicly questioned Kimmel's statement. Quote, where was the joke? Obviously, it wasn't anything funny about that. Olbermann branded Smith a bleeping idiot and accused him of prostituting himself to and collaborating with right wing. Look, Olbermann's outbursts, oh man, he defended Robinson, the guy who assassinated Kirk, saying, oh, he was just protecting someone he loved, so he had to kill Kirk. Look, Olbermann's just totally lost it. I mean, he's just straight up mentally unstable, in my opinion, at this point. The anger's just consumed him. His heart is as black as it can get. He is miserable. Not married, no kids, living with cats. He just probably lives on his phone and behind the computer because he's been fired too many times. Nobody's going to hire him anymore. And he's rich, so he's just consumed with hate. Him and Stephen King should vacation together. That's another guy. All right, let's close it out with an update here. Raja Jackson is arrested on felony assault charges for attacking a wrestler. So, Raja Jackson, he's the son of UFC fighter Quentin Rampage Jackson. He's a famous one. He was arrested on felony assault charges after violently attacking Sequel Stu during a live event maybe a month or so ago. Now, the arrest stems from, it was in August. It stems from that August incident in California where a planned spot escalated to real violence. In fact, the Knox experience heavily criticized him. He said that it was unprecedented. It was disgusting. Yeah. So he was arrested just this past week. In fact, I want to say a few days ago, charged with felony assault and held a $50,000 bail. And the reason here, they wanted an investigator, want to see what happened, but he literally assaulted him and just kept beating on him. He probably thought he could get away with it. That's the values we are promoting now. You play the victim, you'll get away with it. Oh, man, he did this to me. Someone assaulted him. You know, it's like the people defending Charlie Kirk's murderer. Again, Knox Pro condemned the attack as an irresponsible act of violence. It deviated from scripted wrestling. Even Quentin Jackson, Rampage Jackson, stated his son should face jail time, community service, anger management classes, and therapy. Look, in a society where it often feels like values are out the window and nobody gets held accountable, especially when fame's involved, it's kind of wild but respectable that Rampage is owning it, saying his kid straight up messed up, that his kid needs to learn the hard way. Tough love, especially now that Raj is out on bail. I tell you this much. Rampage may be facing some charges there for trying to say that Stu was doing better. So, I mean, not charges with the law, but lawsuit. But anyway, that's your update. He was finally arrested. We're all happy about that. He needs to face the punishment. And hopefully he can learn from it. Will he? I don't know. I don't think so, the way these athletes are now in today's world. Anyway, that's points on the board for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I get down into the nitty-gritty, the dirty stuff, not your traditional sports, so I know my audience isn't going to be as big as some audiences out there, but this is important news. Sports is used as a vehicle for leftism. We saw it with Colin Kaepernick, and we're seeing it today with transgenders. Tell me your thoughts in the comments, good or bad, and feedback is always welcome. Before we go, make sure you hit like or thumbs up and share this podcast. Then bookmark grumbliesmedia.com. Check out our swag and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. This is William Del Pilar for Points on the Board, Grumblings Media's longest running show. Until next week, stay safe, my friends, and we'll talk then.